Dr. Tran, you want to start?
My name is Gary Tran. I am a veterinary from Kentucky. I practice holistic veterinary medicine.
Okay. Next.
Lynette Gish, dental hygienist.
I am a partner in the New West Natural Health Clinic. I'm an herbalist.
Okay, Ray, welcome aboard. Lynette, thank you. Dr. Davis?
Yeah, hi, I'm Dr. Steve Davis. I'm up in Redding, California, the north part of the state, just a few hours north of Sacramento area. And I'm basically a chiropractor, naturopath. I do alternative medicine as our primary focus. Chiropractic is taking kind of second fiddle.
Good man.
And Dr. Marangel?
I'm a chiropractor also, but I've been doing homotoxicology and energy medicine for the last 15 years, and fortunate enough to be working on the cutting edge of a lot of this stuff with many of you.
And you're in?
Oh, I'm in Reading, Pennsylvania.
All right. And Burton?
Burton Goldberg. I'm a journalist, Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, the magazine, the website, alternativemedicine.com.
Dr. Goldberg that published this big, thick book on alternative medicine.
You got it. That's the one. And throw it out.
Yeah, I got all your books. You know, it's like the Bible of alternative medicine.
Thank you very much. Although I don't walk on water, my staff does. The new book, The Definitive Guide, second edition, is a must. 50% more information. We changed it. We only added another 125 pages. It's in paperback now, but it's a must. The other one, throw away. Use it as a doorstop. We have learned so much.
Great.
The name again.
Alternative Medicine, The Definitive Guide, second edition.
Okay, and who else do we have on the line?
Jerry Shigekawa.
And Jerry, you want to share your specialty? And
I'm a chiropractic, and I basically a traditional-based practice and energy work, muscle testing. And I do work basically with systemic enzyme therapy and whole food concentrates and a little bit of homeopathy.
Great. And do I have anybody else on the line?
Me, Linda Griffiths, registered nurse from Boise, Idaho.
Okay. So today we want to talk about chronic fatigue, and Dr. Davis has had some pretty interesting results and has been working with a couple of new products we've been developing, and so I'd like to turn the floor over to him. And the way we want to do it this time is Dr. Davis is going to talk about what he has developed and the things that he's seen with chronic fatigue, and then I want to open the floor up to everyone to talk just either the challenges that they face or exciting things that they have discovered and combination protocols and that type of thing so that we can have a real learning. So, Dr. Davis, if you could take the floor.
Well, thank you. I feel kind of humbled by the individuals that are here, so I hope that my little country way of doing things is appropriate.
You sound like a shit kicker. That's beautiful. stop the humble pie.
Okay, good.
We know you're great.
Anyway, so the bottom line is that just to bring everybody up to speed and also get us all on the same page, is as Dr. Goldberg mentioned earlier, is that we have a devitalized food chain. We have a devitalized air and water. So if we lived in a perfect environment, had perfect water, perfect food, and perfect air, we would still be in trouble because of the contaminants that are within the radioactive activity. Then also we have in the human brain is that we have an awful lot of negative thinking going on rather than positive thinking, which helps derail the hormonal system. And then what we have is that because we discovered light bulbs here about 100 years ago or longer, maybe 200 years now, is that we have deregulated the daytime energy cycle with the nighttime recovery cycle. And so when I look at the chronic fatigue sufferer, I've been tinkering around with this for well over 20 years. And at first, in my naivety, I figured it was relatively simple. And as we continue to progress and as we get more data and information, what we find is that these individuals have a derailed stress system. That's their anxiety, brain functioning, processing. They have a failed hormonal system. That's their pituitary, thyroid, pancreas, adrenal, progesterone, estrogen regulation, as well as testosterone. And then they also have a failed immune system. They have either overt or hidden infections of either viral, bacterial, candida, and all of its second cousins and third cousins, as well as possible parasites, all the way down from prions, mycoplasms, and hidden viruses and mutated viruses. So we have this collection of a kaleidoscope of hidden infections along with hormonal failure, along with stressed individuals in a devitalized food chain with contaminated and poisoned air and also contaminated and poisoned water. So when they show up on my doorstep, as they do on your doorstep, it's a matter of where do we take this kaleidoscope of problems, where do we start, and then how do we actually move forward? What I found, and I really appreciate Dr. Marangel's input, because I started working with subtle energy substances approximately 7-8 months ago, and with an audio tape that Dr. Marangel, Dr. Yuri, and I think another doctor that was on the tape, had a chance to listen to, really challenged and stimulated my thinking. And what I find quite interesting and fascinating is this whole concept of subtle energy. And I like Dr. Marangel's comment, as he shared the last two times we've been on the phone, that a-energetic individuals, these are individuals in chronic fatigue that do not have the ability or the capacity to produce energy. Along with that is that they have a failed immune as well as a self-hormonal system. And what I found with the subtle energy techniques and the substances is that it provides a profound subtle energy, almost as if it's resetting these dead batteries at the cellular level into a format that it can use the botanicals that we've been using forever. So I guess the point is that we are biochemical, which has been the medical model for the last 100, 200 years, but we're bioelectrical, and it's actually the bioelectrical component of us that sets the biochemistry in motion. And even though it's an ongoing stress, most of you are familiar with the energetics and some of the testing, everything from applied kinesiology to Vega testing to computer-aided diagnostic testing to PET scans and some of the more sophisticated testing. But I don't want to go there, but it's just to understand that as we have gone in the last 10 or 15 years, the things that used to work in supplements and the things that used to work in whole foods don't work as well today, because we're dealing with an environment, a people that biochemically do not have the ability to produce energy at the cellular level. When I started looking at the focus of the subtle energy that I've been working with energy tools, what I find is that in the stress mode is that individuals in their thought process, I'm going to take you through a very quick presentation here, in the thought process of this multi-causal thing, what I find is that if I can get a patient re-regulated into their nighttime sleep behavior, because as I've observed the biological clock, it may be a little different than some of you practice and some of you may be aware of, but in the first 2 hours of sleep, in the second hour, 80% of all the human growth hormone that will be produced in a 24-hour period happened within that second hour. Then what happens between the next 2 to 4 hours, you have psychic rehabilitation where the brain plays and the initiation of detoxing of the body as it relates to liver, lymphatic, kidney functioning. And then the last 2 hours, maybe 3 hours of sleep, the progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, hormonal levels come up. And if we can get patients into a sleep mode by upregulating the parasympathetic system, then we can actually take them through each of these different sequences that we find. Because what we find, what I find personally with a chronic fatiguer, a true chronic fatiguer, is they're in sleep deprivation and they're up 3 to 4 or 6 times a night. If we can get them to get through the sleep cycles and get the REM cycles reinitiated, then we can actually help them profoundly, because as we sleep, we begin to heal. What we find with the stress relief, one of the first remedies I began using, that helps upregulate the parasympathetic system. Most everything I've used, whether it be homeopathic or conventional botanicals or even medications, has been in an attempt to suppress the sympathetic. And what we really need are things that upregulate the parasympathetic. And I found that the stress relief just before bed provides that opportunity in combination with a relatively new product, which is called Balance. When I first started working with you folks, it was Indium. And Balance has an ability that I have observed, and Dr. Marangel can probably give us more information on, it helps regulate and defuse some of the anxiety, stress challenges on the pituitary. I have found with individuals that are in the chronic fatigue mode is that about 40% of them have had some kind of a head trauma in their past. They've been unconscious because of the head trauma, and so it's kind of like an egg. When you rattle it and shake it hard, you can actually break the yolk. So in the evening, just before bed of using balance with the stress relief, we're able to get many of them into that sleep cycle, which allows them to start the recovery pattern. We also find that they all have some kind of a failed immune system. If we do conventional medicine, looking at the CD4, CD8 paradigm as far as their killer cells and the numbers, I've found that virtually up to about 500 patients, all of them, their blood levels of killer cells are well under normal. Normal being around 900 to 1,000, depending on which lab you use. And what I find with a true chronic fatiguer is that not only do they have the Epstein-Barr, the cytomegalias, and the human herpes 6 and a whole litany of other viruses, but what I find is their killer cells are down to around 200, maybe to 250 when we first look at them. So we find that we have a suppressed immune system, but they also have hidden infections. So by using at the very beginning acute immune and thymus during daytime, and I use that in the morning when they first wake up, again at noon, and again sometime before the evening meal, three times of the day during the daytime, we actually are able to see a movement forward in their energetics, but more importantly in their immune function, both in muscle testing and vega testing that I do. And then what we have is some of the stubborn things that happen is in the energy cycle is adrenal failure. Some of you do saliva testing, some don't. Some use vega testing and other types of computer-aided acupuncture. But in the process, what you'll find is adrenal failure is always part of the picture. And what you also will find is that their DHEA, the cortisols, are either not working at all, they're flatlined, or they're disassociated, meaning that the DHEA is down, cortisols are up. And what we have done is we've tinkered around with some herbal remedies where Yuri and his ability pulled the energies off, and so we have a fatigue and an adapt, which are basically Peruvian jungle juice, if you will, herbals that the energies were pulled. And what we found is that in fatigue, they're just the names of it, fatigue 1, 2, 3, and 4 actually do match where they're at in their failures. And so what we do is kind of interesting, just through muscle testing, like with fatigue 1, if that turns them into being strong on muscle testing and also on vega testing, what I find is that their adrenal failure is not as severe as it may initially look. If they come in as a fatigue 4, their adrenal failure is really quite severe. And then the adaptogen 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are relatively new supplements, have the ability of actually marking as well the entire hormonal system that's failed, pituitary, thyroid, pancreas, adrenal, and the gonads. And what we find is by using the fatigue and the adapt in combination with acute immune and thymus in the daytime, we're able to resurrect the energy pattern. And if we can get their biological clock working, so daytime energy fires as it should in appropriate timing, and their nighttime energies, they go to sleep and their body goes into rest and recovery, and we diffuse the stressors, what happens is wonderful behaviors start to happen with the patient. There are some that have depression as their overlying challenge in their thinking process, and some have just that fog thinking. So there are some that we'll use along with stress relief. We'll use tranquility, and that helps with our depressed cycles, whether it is exogenous or endogenous. Depends on what's going on with them and how long they've had the chronic fatigue. And then for those that have the fog thinking as a primary focus, because what I find interesting with these individuals is that they're groping around looking for somebody that will help them. And then what's interesting, they come over the primary focus as when they show up the first time around, but then they'll go through a whole grocery list of other things that are bothering them. So it is a true multi-causal phenomena that has to be treated in a group, if you will, rather than trying to isolate it this for that. And so what I found a few months ago is by combining different remedies at different times based on the patient, we can keep them going forward rather than plateauing or reverting into the I feel good today and I feel terrible tomorrow. A couple other things is that always checking in the mouth. There's sometimes you got hidden persistent chronic infections. We mark the ones that have root canals and caps and a variety of different things. And what we have found very, very nice is that the healthy mouth remedy for them as an oral agent for kind of stimulating and repairing that energy has taken an awful lot of pressure on about 6 or 7 patients just of recent. So I find that this particular remedy is very powerful. So I use the subtle energies to kind of get that cellular level the DNA mitochondria energetic phenomena going on. And then I also use biological agents as nutraceuticals and whole food remedies that are common that most people are familiar with. And what we do is then also work with diet and dieting types and that kind of thing. So, but that's kind of an overview very quickly, what I do, how I kind of look at it and my attitude toward it. And I'm very thankful that these remedies are available because some of our very tough cases have actually turned around and are headed forward. And actually they've gotten out of the I can't do anything anymore to actually working and getting back into life.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Davis. That was very good. Now, anybody that has any comments or questions of Dr. Davis or experiences that they want to share regarding chronic fatigue, let's put it on the table and have an open discussion.
Oh, I'm Gordon Goldberg, and we did in my new book, we talk about that. We've covered it in our magazine. We found that Lyme disease sits behind chronic fatigue in many, many, many cases.
Exactly right.
And it doesn't show up in the test. The tests, they say, are 60, 70% accurate. They don't know which end is up because the Western blot and the ELISA test really can't do it. I had a meeting with a guy on Saturday in the lab. He figures that 40% of the people are being misdiagnosed because they have Lyme disease. But there are many kind of spirochete. And so if you go to my book, we have a very nice protocol that Dr. Cowden, we have about six doctors in there who are talking about on it. Of course, we didn't know about your products, but I want to talk about your products for a moment. I have a son who's now 15. When he was 14, we went horseback riding. He had a whole bunch of rashes and allergies to horses. And I used acute immune support in 15 drops in 8 ounces of water. And in 10 minutes, he was free of everything. Could not believe it.
Wow. That's a nice story. Thank you,
yeah.
Burton. Does anybody else have anything they want to bring in, experiences that they've been having with chronic fatigue?
Yes, this is Jerry Shigekawa. Just comments on the chronic fatigue clients that I have or those that have been purportedly diagnosed as having chronic fatigue syndrome. I get these clients after they've gone through the gamut of the normal medical treatment, so they come in as having been pre-diagnosed with that problem. I found that the most difficult cases that I've been able to help is they had a couple of things that were the last things that I would suspect it would be a causal relationship. Number one would be, we mentioned in the mouth earlier, infections and root canals, and also found as an offshoot of that a lot of either heavy metals toxicity, specifically mercury toxicity, and also underlying that would be some type of trauma, especially any type of trauma causing injury to the body that might have caused any type of surgery. I found that scarring and treating the scars has alleviated some of the primary so-called the symptomatic, let's say, entities that we find with this chronic fatigue problem. And those are the two major things that I usually focus in if a client comes in and have symptoms of chronic fatigue. Also, I had a patient also about 3 weeks ago was supposedly diagnosed with Lyme disease. I found that he may have Lyme disease, but also found that he had toxic metals, mercury. So I'm working on the trying to either mobilize and detox that problem and see if that has any relationship to these let's say symptoms that are purportedly in the Lyme disease package.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that with us. Does anybody else have anything that Dr. Marangel?
Yeah, it's great to hear everybody else is seeing a lot of the same things that we've seen for years. The closed head injuries, a few interesting things about thymus. It's been our experience in using thymic extracts of all types over the years, glandulars, homeopathics, you name it, that the thymus is another one of those weird glands like the spleen. You know, it's just another forgotten organ that God put there and we know very little or nothing about. But the experience we've seen over the years is that the thymus is always dysregulated in trauma, and especially emotional trauma is overlooked, and or physical trauma, not just immune system trauma / infection, and especially in early childhood. And I agree with Dr. Reddy. We see many of these people having had closed head injuries, having had physical trauma, crush injuries to the hand or to the fingers, scarring. All of these are autonomic insults. I know that Paul Chaney relayed, Dr. Chaney from North Carolina, I'm sure most of you are familiar with him, being one of the leaders in CFID's research, that some of his clients over the years have either wound up in drug-induced coma or anesthesia-induced coma or traumatic coma and come out of it, and they don't have CFIDs anymore. How does that happen? They kind of get, they go tilt, and then they get a reset on their autonomic nervous system. It's the truth. I mean, he documented several of these cases, so it was just incredible. These people had this whole litany of CFIDs for years. They go comatose, they wake up, they have no CFIDs anymore. So I totally agree with Dr. Redding that we've done almost 10,000 heart rate variabilities measuring the autonomic response, and these people need parasympathetic upregulation, not sympathetic downregulation.
Exactly.
And whatever any of us can marshal, anything we ever see clinically that helps move the parasympathetic into upregulation, do it. Do it with all your patients, not just the CFID people. Because everyone that's sick has parasympathetic failure. And then that goes to the HPA failure, et cetera, and then this whole downline cascade that we've described tonight. One interesting note on the spirochetes and the Lymes, which I actually picked this up last week. You know, the spirochetes have a lipid bilayer shell, which is different from bacteria and viruses and other critters. And the reactivity we see in these people is not necessarily to an active ongoing infection, but actually residual lipid debris that creates the immune response. And so enzyme therapies and other therapies that are geared at emulsifying and removing fatty acids are really important. This is a lot where Dr. Kane's work is coming in. One of the doctors in our area who's kind of a just thinking outside of the box kind of MD has had success using the first generation cholesterol statin drugs, which were more of a lipid binder or chelator. Are you guys aware of those? The early, I forget what the name of it was, but it was cholestatin or something like that. It's a powdered form that you take, but you know, it's not like the stuff they have now, a Lipitor and so forth, which affects, I think, are very, very noxious and toxic. But the actual cell wall debris from the Lyme / spirochete infections, which is what you find in dental inflammation and infection, are a huge source of the chronic fatigue and a lot of these other problems.
Yet after those spirochetes, they're going with some systemic lipase enzyme therapy?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, I go with the lipases. Even, I never had much value for ketosan, but we found that in combination with a high lipase enzyme, it can be helpful. It's pretty interesting. But look to the thymus. I totally agree with this AMPM regulatory concept. You know, all of us have used these things that are supposed to catalyze the cellular energy cycles, NADH and HGH and blah, blah, blah. You guys know all this stuff that's out there, and the success is always mixed. There's no predictability. And the one thing that the energy tools do for us is give us some consistency and predictability.
In other words, you're saying the electric thermal screening will tell you efficacy and tolerance, and it's pretty accurate?
Yes. The physiological markers, the biological markers that we observed in biochemistry will follow the energetic marker, whether it's EAV, AK, and I always quantify it objectively using sequential heart rate variabilities to see shifts in the autonomic control of the heart.
Now, when you mentioned thymus, have you had any results or know anyone that has gone to the thymus hypothalamus axis and trying to follow it back to the hypothalamus and giving the hypothalamus support either homeopathically or
glandularly? Oh, we do that, yes, hugely. And that's where the balance comes in. The hypothalamus is the key.
Right.
And the litany of questions that you can ask these people have to do with everything that's under hypothalamic regulation. Right. Temperature control. They're symptomatic temperature-wise. Do you have excessive thirst or diminished thirst? Do you have excessive swings of hunger and satiation? Your satiety centers are there. Your wake-sleep centers are there. Your thirst centers are there. And so when we do some of our foundational therapies to work on the hypothalamus, we just have them do 4 ounces of water every hour for 3 days, every hour that they're awake. And this just constantly stimulates the hypothalamic thirst center to reset so that you get thirsty instead of hungry. Most people don't drink regularly enough. and they don't have thirst, and they misinterpret the thirst signal as hunger, so they nosh on something, usually something salty or sugary, and they nosh during the day instead of drinking water, which is what their brain really wants them to do.
And that would be some connection back to the nucleus ambiguous in the brainstem.
Absolutely.
There. All right.
And look at the whiplash injury and the crow's head injuries, especially in females, which will dysregulate their endocrine system, even from early in life. So many times we talk to people and we find I fell off the swing when I was 13 and cracked my head, or in gym class, or I was in a car accident and my menstrual cycle is never right since. And crow's head injuries are a big deal.
So we have two components there of actual physical injury, then we have possibly an emotional.
Biochemical, emotional,
right.
Yeah,
then the
trauma.
Emotion-specific, say, emotion-specific and visceral connection to that, let's say, original trauma.
Absolutely.
That spills over in somewhere along the vagus pathway.
You got it. I was waiting for that. That was the next words out of my mouth is anytime the biggest deal we can do for somebody is try and find out what we have to do to calm down the second brain. If you haven't read the book, get it, guys. It's invaluable. And GI aid is one of those things. Because the vagus stimulation back to the nervous system is the biggest upregulator of hypersympathetic atonia and downregulator of the parasympathetic system there is. Fast some of these people. Fast yourself for 48 hours and watch how you feel. Just do a water juice fast for 48 to 72 hours. Shut off your gut for a little while. It's a great foundational therapy. It goes back in almost every culture. You'll find this as a part of ritualistic, either religious or societal practice. And there's value to it. The things that upregulate parasympathetic system the most in our observations over the years of the HRV are yoga, meditation, exercise, of course, and fasting. If you fast, you give your gut a rest, you give the vagus nerve a rest. And as we evolve the energy tools, we need everybody's input and thoughts to help on all of these chronic areas. Adrenal failure, endocrine failure, parasympathetic upregulation. We're constantly trying to evolve this product line better and stronger as we go along and learn from each other.
Jeff, do you use thymus and balance together?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And do you think that GIA can be used during fasting period?
Absolutely. Yes, I think GI aid with stress relief or tranquility during a fasting period in the water. In fact, in the rehydration process that we're now utilizing, Yuri, I use very low doses, one or two drops of the GI aid and stress relief and thymus in every 4 ounces of water throughout the day, and have them doing 10 to 12 doses a day for 2 days or 3 days. And it really, this low dose, high frequency really jacks the energy system. And I suspend all nutrients during that time. I mean, the only thing I mess with is, because I'm not a medical doctor, I don't change anybody's prescription meds because I can't. But it's okay to give your body a rest from your herbals and homeopathy and nutrition for 2 or 3 days once in a while. It's a good concept.
Hey, Jeff, a while ago you mentioned about brain damage due to anesthetic.
Yes.
What product do you use? What bowel formula do you use? In the chronic phases.
What we see there, no, what I was talking about was the people that may have been overdosed by anesthesia. You find these people are sensitive, and they wind up in a surgical situation, and they overdose them accidentally on anesthesia. To do that, I mean, as far as if someone's coming out of anesthesia that hasn't been comatose, I use the Revive and the Rejuvenation formula to stimulate the brain energy and clear mind, which really gets right-left brain activity balance. That's a good one for the closed head injuries. We discussed that last month. Yeah, incredible.
Dr. Davis, the one thing that you didn't cover on this is in terms of the protocols, that you didn't talk about the dosage. So if anybody has questions on that, maybe you could cover it.
Sure. What I basically do, like I mentioned before in one of our other conference calls, is that I'm kind of a gunslinger at this because if you slurp down the entire bottle, would it harm you? From a conventional medicine perspective, looking at it from a harm stated, I haven't noticed anybody yet have a negative impact with any of the remedies that I've given. them. And so what I'm finding, you know, I started slow by using one remedy at a time and then started using smaller dosing and then larger dosing to see what the differences would be. And then also using what accessing tools I have, applied kinesiology, vega testing, biological terrain, those things to kind of see what's up. And what I generally do is that, like, when we're just starting with a patient, if they are not completely bedridden and they're reasonably functional, but except they're just whining all the time because nobody pays attention, nobody loves them, and nobody thinks they got anything wrong with them. With those individuals, what I'll do is I'll give them, like, at night, the 10 drops of the stress relief with balance and just about a shot glass of water that they consume just before bed. And then their dosing throughout the day is that we just have everybody get kind of one of these little shot glasses that you can get anywhere. And what they do is they fill it up with pure water, and then they just add the remedies as I recommend them. So for the adult, for each of the different remedies, we start at 10 with each, and we try to get it 2 to 3 times a day. For those that are extremely sensitive, there are some who are so derailed, if you will, and have that melancholy persuasion. Their entire world is negative. Everything about everything they do is negative, and they're fearful about everything. We'll start with them with only a couple of drops of a remedy every couple hours. So what we do is that we err on the side of caution. We try to pay attention to the individual, their concerns, and we're not trying to push them hard. We just try to find a baseline. For the average individual that's reasonably healthy but are struggling, we tend to find that 10 drops 2 to 3 times a day during their daytime and 10 drops of these remedies at night just before bed seem to get the job done. Now, I'm sure there's probably more specificity to go on, but that's just my general rule. Now, when I'm dealing with children, infants, and smaller ones, it's the same kind of a dosing thing. We just back off the dose. So the children get 2 to 3 drops of these remedies, particularly if we're dealing like with an acute infection and their immune system is challenged or they're struggling with the flu, and we want to boost them by bringing them the acute immune thymus. We just put a couple of drops a couple of times a day for them and kind of see how they go. So I don't have a real detailed prescription with each patient. I kind of start with a protocol. Generally speaking, it's 10 drops in about an ounce of water, and we can mix the different remedies together. That's what I'm finding. We can get away with it because I have basically two problems with most of the natural medicine world. Number one is that we marry patients to an hourly preoccupation of when they're going to take supplements, and they can't ever get along with life, and so the compliance becomes very difficult. So I kind of work from a concept of a little bit over a long period of time is a whole lot better than a whole bunch one or two times and quit.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for that. And thank you, Jeff, for all the comments and insights that you shared with us. Does anybody else have anything to talk about regarding chronic fatigue?
I do. Real challenging client that I'd like some help with. Tonight, I just put him on that Clear Mind, and he had a terrible headache. He has severe head pressure, and he can hardly take anything. The only thing I find a balance on him, and he had a reaction to it.
Did you ever try alkaline bicarbonate of soda to see if his headache would go away?
No, I haven't tried that.
Bicarbonate of soda alkalizes the gut, and if it takes away the headache, look to allergy.
Well, what he does, we're working with that. Allergies, food allergies, he has multi-chemical sensitivities, adrenal failure, hormone failure. He has all of those things, sleep deregulation. But this head pressure, we cannot get any relief from. Just his circulation has to be affected on that.
Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
I would suggest that you get an electric thermal screening device so that you don't have that kind of reaction, or kinesiology at the least.
Oh, I have an EAV, so, and he can't even take the SOE, Jeff.
Really?
5 minutes on that, and he's had a headache. That's how sensitive it is. His mouth is full of mercury caps.
How old is he?
54. Oh, that's true.
Dr. Davis, remember when you were telling me about the access point? Do you think maybe something like that would help her?
Yeah, I was getting ready to go there. There's two things that I would do with him. One is I would use an ionic magnesium, a company called Wateroz. They dissolve magnesium in water, and I would have him take an ounce of that.
I've tried the ionic magnesium. Won't balance on him.
What do you mean, as far as won't bounce on him on the Vega, or won't bounce on him as far as...
Either both. Won't balance on EAV, tried it, and he...
Do you have access to DMPS or DMSA?
I don't have access to it. Of course, I know what it is.
Right, because it may be that mercury goes to different compartments of the body. Chlorella would only work with mercury in the gut, but we have it in the brain, and I suspect if he has your symptoms...
F3 has it.
Yeah, so it may be that you have to test them, see if you might have to... First of all, mobilize that mercury, get it out of the nervous tissue with either DMZ or DMS. Someone will have to help you with that, with those. The other one is what D-penicillamine can also, you know, be tested, challenge him on that, see if that might mobilize that mercury, get it out. So it sounds like you might have to work on the heavy metals first.
What?
Are you all familiar with Gary Gordon's 5-minute push and oral calcium EDTA? Pulls out mercury as well as some other stuff at Dr. Data Lab. And the 5-minute push has been more effective than a 3-hour bottle of calcium EDTA.
For calcium EDTA? And
yeah. He's worth looking at. GordonResearch.com. He's got all the information on heavy metal detox.
Appreciate that. We've tried a lot of things. He's gotten better, but the last 2 months he's been to the emergency room twice. MRI, MRA, cardiologist, neurologist. Can't get rid of the head pressure.
Did you try cranial sacral therapy?
Oh, that's an idea. Well, you know what? He even touched his head. He even bumped it, and he said the pain was so severe, it took him hours to get over it.
What you could also try is Epsom salts with his hands in it, and then while he's doing that is a drop or the lotion of stress relief on his temples, an access point. You may be able to get that to dilate and purge.
Dilate those blood vessels.
Right.
Even tried him in a baking soda bath.
Right.
But I'm not doing that anymore. That made me so sick all over.
Right.
So I don't know if this bicarbonate and soda, if we dare try that orally, if he took it skin-wise in a tub bath. But I appreciate all this. We'll work. Keep working on him. I have a little testimony to tell you. I gave a client who had really severe allergies Thymus, and it was like 5 drops 3 or 4 times a day. Well, she thought it meant... said 50, so she took 50 drops. Her allergies, they've come down like 60%.
Holy cow!
They did great progress.
That's interesting. Before we wind this up, Dr. Tran, you want to share, you've had some pretty spectacular result with reversal of some degenerative situations in animals. I think it would be interesting for the group to hear some of your experiences.
You mean in the use of the new product that you have?
Well, you either that or the bone degeneration and the dog with the jaw problem.
Yeah. The two cases, Constance mentioned cases where I use energy medicine in combination with no need juice to fix an incurable autoimmune disease in dog called chronic masticatory myositis, whereby all the muscles of mastication were atrophied, and it locked the jaw up and it caused severe pain, and the animal cannot eat, and conventional cannot treat that. But using energy medicine and some nutraceutical, I was able to reverse that condition in a couple of weeks, whereby the 3 veterinarians could not do it for like a 2 year time. So it's very traumatic in my mind. Of course, there is only one case. I hope that I could see more and try it again and see what happened. But I am sure that it would work because...
Dr. Tran, what did you use?
I used... It's kind of a long story. If you have an email, I email to you for you to consider that.
Yeah, drd@shasta.com.
Okay. And the other case is also an incurable disease called Lecavé-Purfi disease in an animal whereby the neck of the femur necrosed. It's aseptic necrosis due to the destruction of blood vessels that nourish the head of the femur. And the head of the femur deteriorate with time and causing severe pain, crippling pain, and the dogs cannot walk. And I was able to use, again, holistic medicine and energy medicine to reverse that in about a month. And post the treatment x-ray showed that femur rebuilt again. The head of the femur filled in for the destruction of the bone there.
Right.
So it's very traumatic because the dog go ahead and won a championship. The conventional treatment is doing femoral head osteotomy and, you know, cut the head of the femur off, which is not very satisfactory for people who have showed dog like that.
You have that protocol written up?
Yeah, I will email.
I'll get the protocol and email it out.
Good deal.
And then Dr. Tran called me this week to tell me some spectacular things that he's been seeing with a new product that we developed, which is called MSM Spray. I've sent some samples out to some of you to experiment with since he's had such good results. You want to share what you've been doing?
That product is becoming my favorite product because it fixes so many skin conditions, both degenerative and infectious. And it does so very quickly. I mean, it's just a matter of hours and sometimes 1 or 2 days you can achieve a reversal of symptoms. That product was requested by me because we have already a cream made of it. The dog have a lot of hair and you cannot put cream on their skin. Very inconvenient. So energy tool make a solution out of. I use it and it give very good result in way of swelling, pain, infection, itching, skin infection and inflammation and post-surgical healing and trauma, severe trauma. It reverses these things very fast. I had, for example, a case of a dog being tied out in the back of a truck and the man unknowingly dragged the dog through the neighborhood and it came to me with extremely severe injury in all parts of the body. And I was able to, after 3 hours of surgery, and close most of the wound, but, you know, using the product to spray on the skin and on the lesion, on the incision. The animal healed in about 3 days, even though it's so severe injury.
Wow, well, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. The product is MSM spray, and it's a catalytic water with MSM in it and three of our energies infused into it. So anybody that is interested in testing that, just let me know, and I'll be happy to send you out a sample of it and see if it works in humans the way that it works in animals.
Remember, Thompson, I also found out that that product is very good for getting rid of the severe swelling by urine retention. In the case of a bladder ruptured and urine penetrates subcutaneous tissue in the legs and the belly and the chest, and it's called severe fluid retention swelling substance. Get rid of the swelling in 3 days. In the past, when we have something like that, skin sloughing off and festering, and you never get it to heal.
A suggestion. Why don't you put all this stuff in a cookbook? Can you assemble it all, put it on the internet or in a book? All these conversations are valuable.
Sure.
I think it'd be a great value so that anybody can go to the computer, type in a health condition, and up will come the solutions that your team of scientists have come up with.
Good idea. Well, I want to thank everybody. Our time is winding up, and before we say goodbye, if anybody has any comments that they'd like to make or any topics for the January call that they would like to have covered, speak up now.
Two little comments before we end.
Okay.
Dr. Davis again, is that there's a product that Dr. Urey has put together. It's called ROSE 1, 2, and 3. And what I'm finding is that for those with spinal cord challenges, what appears to be MS or early MS, the little tremors that take place in the peripheral patterns really calm down nicely with that. I don't know if we're curing it, but I do know that the symptoms are reduced dramatically.
Great. And what kind of dosages are you using?
Again, 10 drops three times a day is what we're starting with.
Okay.
Did you find some difference between this number one, number two, number three?
Am I seeing difference? Yes, I am. And I find it kind of interesting. So I don't know if you did that to trick me or what, but it is different for different patients.
All right. I will talk to you sometimes about it.
Okay. And secondly, is that on the magnolia stress and the jujube sleep?
Yes.
If you combine those two together, a chronic insomniac will sleep for the first time.
Really?
Wow. Let me repeat that again.
The magnolia stress and the jujube sleep. Put 10 drops of each in a shot glass of water just before bed. I've got 7 chronic insomniacs. Patients that have been on everything and have been to sleep centers, etc. And first night of taking this, slept for the first time in like 7-8 years. One that's been 14 years, and I've got one that's been just 3 or 4 years.
Where do you get these products, though?
Oh, this is constant.
Here's another secret. These are just little tests.
Wow.
You know, I'm going to have to reveal.
We have a little problem up here in Reading. We have two cardiologists that are being hung by the FDA and by Medicare because they were inappropriately putting stents in or what they are being assumed to. And what's happened is that the national news and UPI and all that kind of stuff, so it's rattled community. Well, the interesting thing, the hospital administrator is the one that is most rattled. And she took this particular product, and it was amazing because she has had everything at her disposal to put her to sleep because of the stress that's hit her hospital. And this was very nice success story.
Great. Well, thank you. Does anybody else have anything they want to share or a topic that they want to cover for the next call?
Constant, that product, I can use it in the eye. Also, I use it in the eye of a cat. It has severe inflammation of the eye. Put it in there, and the next day he opened up the eye immediately.
Wow.
The infection and the pain is under control.
Great.
Yeah, before that, he couldn't even open the eyes. It's closed shut.
Okay. Great, thank you. Anybody else?
About some information, what remedies will help circulatory system, high blood pressure, low blood pressure. Well, low blood pressure is parasympathetic, but the high blood pressure.
Okay, that's a topic for next time. Is that what you're suggesting?
How about some information on that? Yeah.
If anybody has anything that they want to chime in now.
A quick anecdote, stress relief, 4 or 5 drops every 10, 15 minutes. I've taken 6 or 7 acute hypertensives. Nothing's working conventional medicine. Patients panicking over this one. If there's something we had, I had them just sit in the office and do this, and we controlled the blood pressure within about an hour.
Panic disorder.
Yes.
And what was that again?
Stress relief and just 4 or 5 drops every 10, 15 minutes.
Brings the blood pressure down.
It's amazing what it does.
I think next time that maybe we're going to cover the psychological types of problems. Is that agreeable to everyone?
Oh, that'd be fun. I'd like to learn some.
Okay. And so I want to thank everybody for joining us and taking the time. I hope that it was time well spent. And we'll be sending out a tape that this conversation was taped. And so we'll send out a tape to everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for doing it yourself.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.